Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, April 25th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page XXX, the fourth paragraph. Then there are types entirely normal, ending with able, intelligent, friendly people. We're going to be commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, 1 East End, 12 Traditions, Debbie P. Reader of the text, Sherry M. Mary B. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Jordan L. The reference number for Sunday, April 24th, is 18,878. That's 18878. And for this morning, Monday, April 25th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 18,879. That's 18879. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lorraine N., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Juanis N. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Juanis.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanis N., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, happily and gratefully living in California. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. And four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me serve in the month.
Thank you so much, Juanis N. And I'll now ask Debbie P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. My name is Debbie P. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Indiana. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public communication media. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page XXX, the fourth paragraph. Then there are types entirely normal, ending with able, intelligent, friendly people. We're going to be commenting on that one paragraph only this morning. I will now ask Sherry M. to read and share with us. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. thank you so much. Then there are types entirely normal in every respect except in the effect alcohol has upon them. They are often able, intelligent, friendly people. Okay, my name is Sherry M., and I'm gratefully living in a recovered state today. And thank you so much, Dawn, for your service and for everyone who's doing service. This is such a short little two sentences here, and I have to tell you this, if someone's just now joining A Vision for You today, welcome, welcome. We've been studying the different types of alcoholics in the doctor's opinion, which is the chapter that is diagnosing my illness. And this is the only type that I used to hone in on and say, well, this is me. I'm able, you know, I'm intelligent, and I'm very friendly. I'm very, very friendly. And I have to say, okay, so I looked up normal today because that word, and then it says every respect, right? So every is like all the time. So normal, conforming to a standard, what is expected, typical. It also says of a person free from physical or mental disorders. So what I have come to learn about my disease and the spiritual malady is, and it says here in every, it says, except in the effect alcohol has upon them. But my experience has been that when you've taken away my food from me, I actually became more crazy, right? So it wasn't just eating that made me abnormal with the abnormal physical reaction and mental. You know, it's not normal to compulsively eat cookies and then want to kill yourself. So I knew that that was abnormal and that normal people didn't have those kind of thoughts. But I also found that these other types really did apply to me without the steps. So if you just take away my food, absolutely, psychopath, emotionally unstable. Yes. So what's going on in my internal life? So maybe outwardly you wouldn't say to me, you know, you wouldn't ever say Sherry's a sociopath or Sherry's a psychopath or look at her. But inside, in my thoughts, that's what I have come to be very aware of in doing these steps daily. I have a daily reprieve that God gives me, a daily reprieve as long as I surrender to God and say, take all of me and do what you will. Take the food. That's the entry to being free, but then completely rearrange my thoughts and ideas. So I, what's going on inside has been more of a more, I guess you could say, more normal now that I'm, you know, doing these steps day in and day out. But yeah, I had to also look at the outward appearance. You know, there was a way that I was acting in life, which was sort of like people pleasing, you know, like, and that wasn't my truth. So what the steps have given me is to be able to face, okay, just to wrap up, to face myself in the mirror and say, this is all of me, God, the good, the bad, the ugly, the mental disorders, the disease, take it all and then rearrange it and help me live free. And because I've done that and I work the steps as outlined in the big book, I get to live free from this horrific state of disease that's killing me. Thank you so much. I passed.
Thank you so much, Sherry M., for getting us started. I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share on these on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Becca R.
Becca R.
This is Judy J. from Illinois.
Judy J.
Lisa N. from Wisconsin.
Lisa N.
Donna B.
Donna B. Okay, let's start there. Becca R., Judy J., Lisa N., and Donna B. Go ahead, Becca. Please share with us.
Hey, good morning. This is Becca R., recovering compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. And that paragraph is amazing for me. It's just what I needed to hear. I'm coming back from a relapse that started with a pregnancy. And it was so, it got so gray. Food became so gray. And something that I have to remember is my disease, it is, if you look at me, I'm in a normal body size. I've always been in a normal body size. And so much of my disease characteristics is from the mental gymnastics that go on between my ears. And so it's really easy for me to tell myself I'm normal. And I did that with my pregnancy because I only gained the amount of weight that I was supposed to. And then I lost the amount of weight I was supposed to. And I'm back in a normal body size. Normal, 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 normal. But what I have to remember, and it helps me to be around my fellows, is that I'm not a normal eater. The way I react to food, the things I do with food, the mind space that food, body image, obsession takes up and takes away from the people I love the most, my kids, my family, my friends, my neighbors, that's not normal. But I can tell you that my relapse of late was preceded by thinking, I'm normal. Look at what I'm doing. I've only gained the amount of weight that I was supposed to. I'm losing the weight as appropriate. I'm normal, normal, normal. And the more I throw in there, the less God. So I'm grateful to be back. I'm grateful to be surrounded with people who live on the other side of the page. We are a separate entity. And yeah, so that... that I'm grateful, and that's all I've got. I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Becca R. from Kentucky. Judy J., please share with us, followed by Lisa N. And if you're just joining us, we're on page XXX, the fourth paragraph. Then there are types entirely normal, ending with able, intelligent, friendly people. So go ahead, Judy, please share with us.
Good morning. This is Judy J., and Judy is spelled with an I, from Illinois. Recovering compulsive overeater. And I remember when I was reading this paragraph, I thought, oh my gosh, what can be shared on this? I was just really interested to see what my fellows would say. So I listened to the early meeting, and oh my gosh, it was so powerful. As I know, this sharing on this meeting will continue too. But normal, I felt I was an able and intelligent and friendly person. But am I? If I am abnormal with my food, if I am abnormal with my food and my behaviors around food, and food is a basic need for my survival and the craziness that I was doing, then I did accept that I was an abnormal person and I needed that in every respect to understand that. And I needed help. Today, I love my quote-unquote abnormal life. I embrace it with prayer and meditation. I abstain from the foods my body tells me are unhealthy. And I have a fellowship who understands and is living with their abnormalities. Thank God I accepted that I am abnormal. And I'm using that term loosely. Abnormality has brought me peace and serenity. And every day when I get up, I thank God for my Abby, who took me aside and said, "What about Overeaters Anonymous?" And I had no clue what she was talking about. I hadn't been exposed to the 12 steps, and also led me to vision. So I'm so grateful for this quote-unquote abnormal life. It has brought me what I was searching for all my life, a relationship with my higher power. And I'm just so grateful for all of you and all of your service and the people on the line. Just make a call. Just make a call. And thank you.
Thank you, Judy J. from Illinois. Lisa N., please share with us, followed by Donna B., and then I'll be opening up the lines to take more names. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service today. Nice to hear your voice. So what popped into my head, actually, is when we're talking about abnormal, is that movie, there's an old movie with the it's young Frankenstein, and there's a brain in a jar, and it's labeled abnormal, but somebody reads it as abnormal. And so that popped into my head because that's what I am. My brain is abnormal. And I mean, I can laugh at it, I can joke at it, but really what I am is I'm unique. It doesn't, abnormal sounds so bad. And what I really am is I'm delicate, I'm different, I'm wired different. And I don't want to think, I mean, sure, my behavior is not good, it's not healthy, but it's because my brain is delicate. There's something different about it than others. It's different. It's not bad normal, it's different normal than normal to me. So, I mean, I'm just more sensitive. I have to work differently in life. I have to behave. I have to choose differently. And I am so grateful for this program because right now I hear myself talk yesterday to my sister, try to explain who I am with food because she's having struggles too, but she's not like I am with a disease that I've ever noticed. And she says she's not either, which I believe. And, you know, I know that I'm different. I know that I have an odd way of thinking or perceiving things. But with my higher power's help and meetings and all of you, I mean, I can do this one day at a time. I can't do it tomorrow. I can only do it today. So thank you for being here and letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lisa N. from Wisconsin. Now, Donna B., will you share with us from Colorado?
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. My name is spelled D-A-N-A This paragraph reminds me of the phrase later on about strange mental blank spots. And there was a time in which this image developed in my mind of a piece of Swiss cheese that my brain literally has holes in it. And I also was thinking about people with, you know, early stages of dementia, and how that dementia develops over time. And I would never yell at a person with dementia, like, why don't you remember who I am? Why don't you remember what happened yesterday? Why don't you remember, you know, to get up and use the restroom? Why don't you remember? You know, I don't approach their strange mental blank spots with a shame or aggression, but rather a kind of sad acceptance. It's certainly not easy to be in a relationship with someone who has dementia. It feels as if the person is dying in front of you. But I would never, ever respond with anger and shaming directly at that individual. So I've accepted that there are just parts of my brain that are missing. And I take so much pride in being a smart, capable, efficient, productive woman in society. And so it's a real battle of acceptance to be able to be both and both productive and efficient and at my work and have these holes in my brain that interfere with my ability to think in a quote-unquote normal way about food and body and weight, status, security, and the list goes on and on and on. And like others have said, it is such a gift to live within a community where my abnormalities are received with compassion, love, and understanding. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. And I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take more names. We are on page XXX, a fourth paragraph. Then there are types entirely normal, ending with able, intelligent, friendly people. So who, although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Cynthia C.
I heard a Cynthia C.
KCA.
Was there a Cynthia C?
Yes, Cynthia C.
Okay, and a KCJ, and was that a gentleman's voice? What name was that?
Jonathan G.
Jonathan G. Thank you so much.
Hannah.
Deborah G.
Hannah. And what was your initial? Hannah H. Perfect. I have Cynthia C., Casey J., Jonathan G., Hannah H., and who did I miss?
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Okay, Sherry G.
And Sherry G.
Sherry. Thank you.
Sherry G. Very good. Okay, Cynthia C., Casey J., Jonathan G., Hannah H., Deborah G., Sherry G. Go ahead, Cynthia. Please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Thank you, moderator. This is Cynthia C. I'm calling from Newton, Massachusetts. And I thank you so much for your service and for everybody who makes this meeting happen today and every day. If I don't have great reception, I apologize. I'm in the woods with my dog walking. What a perfect time. So I got on late, so I didn't hear, I don't know the whole reading, but I love hearing this sort of how our brains are different. And when I first came in, OA, it was in the late 80s, and and there was no recovery where I was living. There was no recovery at all. But it was the first time where I was with people who felt the same way, who had this, their brains worked the same way, you know. And it took me a long time to find people who worked the steps, you know, and to get recovery and to get abstinence. And it was great. And I had it for 3.5 years. And then I had a 20-year relapse after my wedding. You know, and I went to Weight Watchers for a good 14 years of that. And every week I would go and I would say, okay, this week I'm going to do A, B, and C. But then my brain doesn't work normal. And I love that Swiss cheese, you know, that analogy of Swiss cheese. Because, you know, I would have holes. I used to call it food amnesia, that I had food amnesia. And I couldn't remember that I wasn't supposed to eat certain things. I couldn't remember that those things, you know, I couldn't remember, you know. And it took me 20 years of being in relapse to come back in the rooms. And I came back in the rooms, and you all think the way I think. You feel the way I feel. You've had the same experiences as me. And I felt at home again because I found a solution. You know, I don't remember. My brain doesn't work like a civilian's brain. I have friends who are not compulsive overeaters or addicts. And do they have problems? Sure. But they don't obsess about the food. Like, they just don't obsess about food. Like, it's just not the same thing for them. You know, and we just finished this long Passover holiday. And thank God for recovery. But I was just aware that there's so much focus on food. There's so much focus on my preparing my kitchen. So much focus on the food I need to make for everyone. So much focus on, like, you know, setting it and serving so many meals. And I'm exhausted by this focus on food. But I felt the whole time this gratitude for recovery and this gratitude that I'm not binging myself away the whole week on, you know, potato chips and sugar. You know, like, I'm so grateful that I could be present. And did I still have, you know, some of my anxieties and my fears and my resentments? Yes. But I was able to, like, recognize that I was having a resentment and work the steps on it. Yep. Thank you so much. So grateful to be here today. Thank you all.
Thank you, Cynthia C. from Massachusetts. Casey J., will you share with us now, followed by Jonathan G.?
Sure. This is Casey, the initials, A, and recovered in Oregon. I can be heard?
You sure can.
Okay, thank you. Oh, when I read this morning that they are often able, intelligent, friendly people, the fact that I was so able, intelligent, and friendly kept me in the disease for the 35 and a half years that I've been in the rooms. Never left, worked the steps. I just never heard the recovery path that I've been given. I am now 6.5 months entirely abstinent. And what I will say, that we often say that we are in a disease of isolation. I lived behind a mask, and my mask looked darn good. Because of program, I was no longer the weight that I came in at. I was like 60 pounds less than that. I was close to a normal body weight. I had a life that was wonderful, and I could not step into it until I was willing last fall to reach out to a fellow and say, I'm in despair, because I was binging every third day. I have a 5-year journal, and I went back and looked at last year, and it's like every single day was about the food. I'm not going to do it. Or I went, or I had a little extra, or, you know, that insanity. And what I have today, you know, I posted this last week. My husband in retirement is taking up baking. So I used to eat all these baking ingredients and have to go to the store every other day and replace them. He can bake, leave the things on the counter. I am not pulled to them, and I can enjoy the fact that he is taking such joy in this new skill that he's built. My relationship with my higher power is definitely of the educational variety. Thank God for two-way prayer, because it's the way that I have always been able to have a contact with a higher power that I call God. my ability during the day to come back to that is pitiful at times, but I am practicing. And sometimes I just say I don't have enough to share, but it is a miracle. It is a miracle. 6.5 months, 202 days. And I am just so grateful. I'm grateful for this meeting, for the other meetings that I go to where recovery is so vibrant and hopeful. And that's what we offer other people. I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Casey A. Jonathan G., will you share with us now, followed by Hannah H., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Jonathan G. in Dobbs Ferry, New York. I hope you can hear me.
We sure can.
Terrific. Thank you. One can never tell with these contraptions, right? Entirely normal in every respect except for the effect alcohol has upon them. You know, I used to think that I ate because of something abnormal in my life. You know, problems with relationships, if I could only settle, you know, if my parents had been different, if this, that, and the other thing. And I came to realize that actually it was the other way around, that my overeating created blind spots in terms of how I related to other people and how I thought of myself in the world. And the eating itself was a problem that generated abnormality in me. And there are lessons that I never learned as a compulsive overeater growing up that I learned from the 12 steps. I learned them in recovery. I learned about ambition, about service, about compassion, about discipline. And I would guess that these are things that a person who doesn't have the problems that I have might learn from living. And I'm very grateful that living in the solution allows me to grow in many ways. And I'm just very grateful for this guidebook and for the people who helped me walk through it. And I'm living in recovery today, thanks to God's grace and the help of all these good people on the line today. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jonathan G. from New York. Hannah H., please share with us now, followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Hannah. Press star one, Hannah. Okay, perhaps Hannah needed to...
I am Hannah from Colorado, and this is my first meeting. And I never thought that I was able, intelligent, and I have thought I'm friendly, but I've been crying through this and I guess frustrated because I've done a lot of 12 steps and I guess food is one thing that I've held on to with all my other addictions. Like, it's been the one thing I have left. And I don't know, I feel kind of mad and threatened. But, like, I know during my life that I had spent so much time performing, trying to be able, intelligent, and friendly, like I'm basically like jumping on different stages and I'm going to be an athlete. I'm going to be the best athlete. And then I'm going to be like pretty. So I'm going to be the prettiest I can be. Just these other different ways of kind of calculating how I measure up. And maybe if I can fake everyone else out, then I can fake myself out. And then basically I had a couple of traumatic brain injuries, and it's like relearning things from the start, and still food is here. And I really struggle with believing those things. And I guess that's all I have to do. I mean, I don't, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Hannah H. from Colorado. Deborah G., will you share with us now, followed by Carrie G. and Hannah, keep coming back. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Oh, so much, Dawn, for... I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. Thank you for your service today, Dawn, and all those that have made this meeting possible. And welcome, Hannah, and welcome all newcomers that are on the line today. I'm so glad that you're here, and you don't have to be alone. You can walk through this holding hands together. I was looking at that reading, and, you know, I never could imagine when I was, you know, in my disease, be intelligent. I had brain fog all the time and couldn't remember things and miscombobulated all the time. You know, how could I mean, I was an intelligent woman, excuse me, but because of the food, it was messing up my brain. And then friendly, I was friendly as I could. I you know, I was like listening to people, but not listening to people when I was with them. I'm so caught up in my head with the food, I couldn't actually hear the people or what they're saying. Or I couldn't imagine, I watched people, how they ate food, ones that didn't have this disease. And it was just amazing how they could do that, or how they could hold on to the fork for a while before with the food on it, before putting it in their mouth. I couldn't wait to get it in my mouth and keep eating and eating, you know, the insanity of it. And so, yes, there are people out there that don't have this disease, but I do. And I'm so grateful that I have this program, because I found a way of how I could deal with it. So I don't have to live like that anymore. You know, through going through those beautiful 12 steps and having a transformation and having a deeper relationship with power and that beautiful, loving presence, God, you know, that it doesn't want me to suffer. You know, I'm not suffering today. And I can be friendly. I can be there. I'm looking out, you know, not that I don't get into self-centeredness, because I do, but I'm becoming more other-centered than self-centered, you know, where I'm caught up in all that. And my brain is better. I'm still getting older and forget things and all those, but it's not because of the food. That's the thing. All of that stuff is not because of the food today. And I'm so grateful for this program. And I'm grateful for all of you, 12 Step and me today, all the shares. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. Carrie G., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the lines. Just to let you know, we are on page XXX, the fourth paragraph. Then there are types entirely normal. And we're reading and commenting on that one small paragraph only. So, Carrie G., please share with us.
Dawn, thank you so much for your service. This is Carrie G. in Colorado. So grateful to be a member of this community, a vision for you. This reading brings me to, if you're reading in the doctor's opinion for the first time, you're in step one. And it just brings me to think of the unmanageability, and that my pain had to be greater than that, than my fear, that because I have to fully admit my powerlessness in this disease. And we had a gathering in Colorado, and our members here decided to name, we took a vote on what should we name our event, and people voted on desperation to transformation. And that word, desperation, in step one, we have to be so desperate. And I can just hear that that desperation in people that are struggling. And I'm so grateful today to say that I'm not. And that, you know, that my path is to finding a power. I have to find a power outside of myself. Otherwise, I'm denying my pain. I'm sitting in this unmanageability, this space where I can't grow. So today I look at these two ends of the spectrum of my pride. You know, when I'm in the food, my pride is like, I'm unworthy. I am not worthy of anything good. You know, I'm broken. Or I'm all puffed up on the other end of pride, and I'm, you know, this perfect person. I'm normal in every respect, and I can eat exactly what I want to eat. So to just humble myself and take these steps and reach out and say, I'm desperate. I'm absolutely desperate, and dying in the food is what my experience has been. You know, every time the food is my God and I make the food my God, I have to humble myself and call somebody and say, you know, help me get right-sized. I need to get my relationship with God under, you know, a better loving stance. So I'm so grateful for this community. If you are struggling, reach out and have that willingness for transformation, because it's there. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you so much, Carrie G. from Colorado. And I'm going to open up the lines now to take a couple more names. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Wendy
Noel
B.
Wendy
Carl B.
Wendy B. and Carl.
Noel E.
And Noel, we'll put you on at the very end, but I don't believe we're going to have time for you. So, but we'll hopefully we will. Go ahead. Was it Wendy B. or Wendy C.?
Wendy V. as in Victor.
Wendy V. Very good. Go ahead, Wendy.
Yeah, I just wanted to share. Thank you, everyone, for your shares and participation. I don't recall anybody coming into this program with a smile on their face. I think I've had many, many bottoms in my life. And in fact, I could pretty much live at a bottom for years, I found out. But when I really, really, really can't take one more minute of living the way I'm living, and food's got a hold of me and I can't go one more day with it, and it's not working, and the food's turned on me and there's no more reprieve, and it doesn't stop the voices in my head, you know, it's at this particular bottom. When you're coming in here broken, it's the bottoms that the grace of God seems to enter into. And I'm not here because I'm friendly. I'm here because I do have this broken mind when it comes to food. And I can't do one thing. There's no human aid on this planet that could stop me from putting another bite in my mouth. And I don't even have the ability with this brain to see the truth. But I do know that for some reason, this loving, kind God, all my years, seems to come in and do something for me when I can't go on one more day. So with that, I'll close. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendy V. from California. Carl, please share with us now, followed by Noel, if we have time. Go ahead, Carl.
Good morning, Carl B. from Illinois, sitting on the beach in Venice, California. So grateful. I was trying to get on the listen to the 7 a.m. recording, and I actually realized that the 10 a.m. meeting was happening, so I jumped on here. And what an incredible meeting and shares today. Thank you all so much. You know, I was thinking about this idea of, I always felt like I was outside looking in when it came to food and food behavior. And, you know, there was it always felt very performative. And somebody was mentioning earlier about people who, you know, picked up food on their fork and then just sort of let it sit there. And I could totally relate to that. And this idea of, you know, just very casually sitting at a restaurant and sort of looking at food. And that was never me. It was all about getting through it and getting to the next spot. And I desperately wanted to be normal and have neutrality around food. And it, you know, it was always on my mind, and it was consistently where to get it and how to do it. And, you know, I have a lot of time in the drink program. And when I came into OA 5 years ago, as many of us have found out, it does, you know, the credits don't transfer. And so it was a very different experience for me. And it's something that I still am trying to figure out. And I heard somebody say that a long time ago, that this is not a self-improvement program, but a self-acceptance program, like God does the work. And I try to hold on to that, that this really is a day at a time. And with you people and with God's grace and mercy, I look at this one day at a time. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Carl B. from Illinois. And now, Noel, please share with us. And I believe I heard a Babylonia and some others, and I apologize. We're probably only going to have time for Noel, but we'll see how it goes. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Noel.
Hey, Dawn. Thank you. It's Noel E. from Louisiana, gratefully recovering one day at a time. Man, Hannah, thank you. I was, for all intents and purposes, completely normal. I mean, all the boxes I was trying to check were of someone who was completely normal, or maybe like exceptional even, you know, like that was the, what I thought I was going for, or what I was trying to do, or the approval I was trying to seek, you know, like from such an early age too, you know, like, and it really started to take notice in high school for me, like be on the homecoming court, go to the right college, make the right group of friends, be in the right sorority, get the right job after. Oh, it's really sad to talk about, but it's just so freeing to know that I don't have to live that way anymore. And I like what one of the first people shared about it being like, abnormal. I want to be that way. You know, I always deep down wanted to be someone who saw things differently and experienced things differently. That's how I was feeling. That's what I was trying to push down. And now I get to, you know, I don't know. I get to live freely and have God's love and not be checking things off the list, being able to be of service and be able to be the abnormal person I've always, you know, felt like I was, down to my core. I get to live freely in this existence. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Noel E. from Louisiana. And Babylonia, please come back tomorrow and share, and anyone else I might have missed. We're now going to be closing with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Mary B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.